We're speaking now with our District 1 Seat 8 Representative, Heather Scott. Heather, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me on.
So as we speak, the 2022 session of the Idaho Legislature is kicking off in just a few days on January 10th, although this recorded podcast is going to be airing on January 13th. So the session will have been started a few days before this airs. So to start, I'd like to ask you to look in your crystal ball and tell us what you think will be the biggest issues coming up in the legislature this year.
I think the biggest fight you're going to see is all-day kindergarten. I think that's coming. I've heard a lot of talk about it. But I think you're going to see other things. I think there's going to be some vaccine mandate bills to try to push back on some of that. We're going to see, hopefully, a grocery tax repeal with a $1.6 billion surplus in the state. I'm hoping that one gets looked at this year. And you'll have just the regular agency bills that always come through to make the agencies run more efficiently.
So let's talk a little bit about the all-day kindergarten. This is to, I don't know that much about it. Is this to fund all-day kindergarten around the state?
Yes, it would be to fund all-day kindergarten around the state. And our state has taken a strong stand on it that we do not want to have that. But I think this is coming from the Biden administration. I think it's coming from the feds. And so there's a big push because there's usually money to get you to do what they want you to do. And so I think there'll be a lot of push to take that money and do the all-day kindergarten.
And where will you stand on that issue when it comes up?
You know, I don't know that I've spent any time researching it, so I can't say for sure, but I will say last year they tried to do preschool, but their preschool now is not defined how we see preschool. It's age 0 to 5. And they were trying to do books for this preschool, reading stuff on critical race theory. And you know my stance on that. I'm against discriminating against people who are pushing agendas of that in our state. But I imagine that will rear its head too. So that's about the depth I've studied into all-day kindergarten and some of that preschool stuff. So it'll be a big learning curve for me, and I'll definitely want to hear from the constituents to see where they stand on that issue.
Okay. And the grocery tax, that's one that's kind of like perennial. Right now in Idaho, we pay tax on food, and there are a lot of states where sales tax is waived for food. Do you think that we'll see a bill that would remove the tax, or do you think that we might get a larger tax credit? What do you think might happen?
Well, I sure hope we remove the tax. We are one of only 6 states that fully tax groceries. And there's really no reason to be taxing groceries when, like I said, we have a $1.6 billion surplus in this state. To remove that grocery tax would be less than 20% of our surplus. And remember, that surplus is your money that you've paid to the state that they're not even using. So there's really no need to tax us on groceries. But I think that will be introduced early this year. That's the hopes. And the leadership has stopped that bill from being heard, and we're hoping because leadership's moving on, maybe we will get that this year.
Yeah, well, that's definitely one to keep an eye on because that affects everybody who eats, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what do you foresee for vaccine mandates?
You know, people are tired of losing their jobs because they're losing their jobs or being coerced into taking something that they don't agree with or they want more information on. And so I don't know what that's going to look like. We have tried to get bills passed to respect people's individual rights. These businesses are ignoring the Constitution. So I don't know how passing a law might help that, but it would at least stop it and tie it up in the courts until this nonsense has moved on. we have to remember these are individual rights we have as individuals, and to let businesses dictate what you can and can't do to your body, or should or shouldn't do to your body, that's really going down a slippery slope. Because I don't know where that one ends. I mean, look at China with, they say you can't have more than one child, and yet it has to be a boy at sometimes. So do you want our government following, doing that with these mandates?
Well, the flip side of that, or the opposing side from folks that are in favor of mandates, is that, you know, it's a public health issue, and the decision by some folks to not observe some of the health precautions, it puts people who might be susceptible to the virus at risk. What would your comeback on that be?
My comeback would be the numbers are out, and the people that are getting the vax are still getting the virus. And since we started to vax with this RNA, they're calling it a vaccination, but it's RNA replicate in a body. Right now, I just heard a statistic yesterday that death rates for working people aged 18 to 64 is up 40% since pre-pandemic. So that is, I bet you can directly correlate that to the vaccines. And I just heard another statistic that airline pilot deaths is up over 1,000%. These are industries that are forcing their employees to take this RNA replicate, and I think that's what I would say to them is it's time, the numbers are all coming out. It's been long enough now that the science is really clear that this is maybe not what people thought it was.
Okay. On another subject, you mentioned that the state has this massive budget surplus.
Yes.
It's accumulated for a few reasons, I think. One being that the sales tax came into play on internet sales. And I think mm-hmm. that raised more money from the sales tax than the state had seen in previous years. I'm not sure if there's some federal money as part of the whole COVID stimulus thing that's included in that $1.6 billion. But the fact is, we got this big surplus. How would you like to see the state utilize that?
Well, I think most people that own a piece of property would agree we need property tax relief. I think the citizens have been begging for property tax relief, and I think that's where that money needs to go. Property tax relief. I'm sure there's other places, but that off the top of my head, that'd be the first thing that comes to mind. Let's start reducing taxes, maybe even give some money back to citizens. The overpayment of money, we could get that back into the pockets of citizens, and they can use them in their local communities.
Do you think, or do you have any ideas on using some of that money for, say, infrastructure? It might be a one-time surplus, some of it could be used for, say, fixing roads or addressing maybe educational facilities, because a lot of school districts have aging buildings that need to be replaced. Are any of those kind of proposals out there, floating around out there, that you know about or would support or oppose?
You know, they probably are, and I would. Yeah, obviously our roads need funded and our schools need funded. And our schools should be funded by the state. And the state seems to ignore the buildings and force that onto the local districts. And so they have to pay for that with levies. And so I think the schools should be more, if the state is supposed to fully fund schools, then that fully fund means funding the facility to have school in. And so, I don't know what that looks like. I've run a bill several years to get rid of levies, to put that responsibility back on the state. It hasn't seemed to go on anywhere. I guess it's passed the House, but the Senate seems to be a big roadblock for many of these bills to help the individual citizens. So, And infrastructure, we did pass something, I think it was last year, to where some of the infrastructure money is going to start coming from the general fund. And I sure like that idea. And any ways to self-fund that with our regular taxes instead of charging extra, they're starting to talk about this gas tax per mile you drive. They want to tax you on that. That's ridiculous. So I do think probably infrastructure would be a great investment, especially with the
Okay.
growth in our state.
Growth is, we're the fastest growing state, once again, in the country. Our growth rate, at least, is the highest. I just saw those numbers last week, I think. Well, are you going to introduce or co-sponsor any legislation that you'd like to let people know about?
Well, I've got a couple things, mostly constituent bills. I think I'm going to run my bill again to end the emergency. There is no reason we are at a declared state of emergency, passing on the authority to one person in the state to make all the decisions. So
That being the
I
governor.
yes. Yes, so I think I'll try to run that bill again and see what the taste is. The legislature and the state of Idaho is so addicted to federal money. We are now taking in more federal money than we are state money. And I think people understand the implications of that. Where the money is dictates where the policy comes from. And so I don't think most Idahoans want to be run by Washington, D.C. And so I'm going to push back to end the emergency in hopes that we can stop taking this emergency ARPA money that is destroying our communities.
Okay. Well, we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to get into a slightly different topic, but it certainly bears on the legislature. Every 10 years after the census, Idaho goes through a legislative and congressional redistricting process to account for population growth and changes. And 10 years ago, in I guess it'd be 2011, District 1 was redrawn in a way that put the Sagal area into that big District 7. But the new map that's now proposed would put Sagal back in District 1, but it's going to place the Blanchard area in a new District 2. And if that's approved, that means your seat would no longer be in District 1. You'd be running in this new District 2. And I wanted to see what's your take on this proposed redistricting map. And I should say, it's not approved, and it's actually being challenged too.
Yes, it has been approved. It is being challenged in the courts, and I think they'll make a decision in a couple weeks. I do think that map will hold. It basically comes up and carves a line around my house in Blanchard and pulls it down into Shoshone, Benoit, Clearwater County. So, I think it'll hold, and my thoughts on it are, it's unfortunate Idaho or Bonner County is at the top of the state. This is done by population. And the way the rules are written, Bonner County will always be added to the population of Kootenai County. So as we grow, they're never going to come and pull out Boundary County. They're always going to split up our county, which is disenfranchises some of the county, some of the county. It definitely does. But I look at it as an opportunity for us to grow our message and our vision. And push back on some of the laws and agendas and policies coming out of the Boise machine. Just like several states, it's the people in those urban areas making decisions for us up here in the northern end of the state. And some of that stuff doesn't make sense. And so I see it as an opportunity for us to grow, to get some new faces, fresh faces up here in North Idaho, and I think we'll grow stronger. I think their plan to kind of get me out of my district will backfire on them, and I love it.
So you're actually the only, I think you're the only incumbent that'll be in that new district too, right?
As of today, but they could redraw a new map. I figured they're trying to get Blanchard down to Boise. Somehow, they're just trying to make that line to just get it down to Boise. But
That would be a very strange district right there. 10 feet wide and what, 300 miles long.
Hey, I'm sure the machine gets what the machine wants, so don't think anything's impossible.
Well, Heather Scott, we got just a couple minutes. Are there any other things you'd like to tell people as this Idaho legislative session gets underway?
Well, I just, if I do get redistricted, I sure do appreciate the support from Bonner and Boundary County. Chris, I appreciate you guys always being fair about your reporting and doing interviews on us and letting us just share where we're coming from. So, I'll miss you all, but I'll still be voting right if I get elected in the next district down south of me. So I look forward to seeing you out and about. So that's probably all.
Okay, and we will be touching base with you at least a time or two during the course of the session. So
That sounds great.
watch for our call on that. Well, Heather
All
Scott,
right.
our District 1 representative for the Idaho Legislature, I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much.